This is Digital Story Podcast number 777, February 9th, 2021. Today's theme is Protect Your Camera Gear from Theft. I'm Derek Story. Smash and grab is becoming more commonplace, and we can't take anything for granted when it comes to protecting ourselves or our cameras. On today's show, I will share a few real-life stories to illustrate this point, then review steps we can take to circumvent criminal acts against us. Thanks so much for joining me. So I have a few stories to start out with, one very close to home, two from the headlines, just to illustrate just how crazy things are right now when it comes to real stealing camera gear. And then I have some ideas. These are things that I'm practicing in my own career, but I'm going to share them with you in terms of how to protect myself, how to protect yourself, and how to hang on to our cameras, because it feels like there are a lot of folks out there that want to take them from us. And obviously, we don't want to lose any of our gear that we like so much, and we don't want any harm to come to anyone that happens to be in the area at the time. So all of these considerations are very important. So let's start out with a few stories of what is going on. Now, this first one is close to home because it happened after one of my workshops in 2019, the Bodega Bay workshop. And this is the gas station smash and grab. So one of our workshop participants had finished up and he was heading back to the airport in a rental SUV. And he had his camera gear in the back in kind of the hatch area of the SUV. And he just made a stop at the gas station and he needed to go inside to get a couple items. And in that short period of time that he left his car, which was locked, he left it locked, to go inside to get a couple things. Someone had either been eyeballing him or, you know, we're never sure exactly how this happens, but they knew exactly where to go. And they went up to his SUV. They smashed in the back window, and that's what they do. They don't mess around. They just smash the window. They reach in. They grab the gear. In his case, I believe it was two backpacks full of gear. And then they speed off, all in just a matter of seconds. It's really disappointing to hear that that happened to him. He had had a great workshop. It was one of his first workshops with us. And then to have it finish on that note made me feel very bad. And, you know, you go inside for a minute, your car is locked, and you still lose your gear. That's what I'm talking about, the state of things right now. Now, this next one was in Petapixel. I read it on Petapixel just today. And let me read you this. And by the way, I have the link to the story in the show notes. Photographers robbed while stuck in San Francisco traffic lose $7,000 in camera gear. I don't know if you saw this or not. There's actually a video that goes with it that someone else videoed it happening. Okay, and you can see that when you go to the link. I'll read you the text right here. This may be the modern day equivalent of a stagecoach robbery. A pair of photographers were just brazenly robbed while they were sitting in traffic in San Francisco. Robbers smashed their rear window and stole a bag filled with $7,000 in gear, and it was all caught on camera. ABC7, which is a local news station, reports that the husband and wife real estate photographers, Ben and Marcia of Home Shots, were waiting to get onto the Interstate 80 on-ramp around 4:30 p.m. Friday afternoon, after finishing a photo shoot near Dolores Park. As the video above shows, and so they do have the video there, a dark Honda then pulled up alongside the photographer's Prius. A man jumped out, quickly smashed the rear window. They're sitting in the car. Smashed the rear window, grabbed the equipment bag that was in the trunk, hopped back into the car, and sped off. The whole incident lasted about 10 seconds, start to finish, and was caught on camera behind by a Tesla driver named Alex, who then pulled over and exchanged contact information with the photographers. Marsha, who had been driving the car, had noticed the dark car following them after they left the photo shoot. This is a very important point. Ben estimates that his stolen gear, which includes a camera, lens, drone, and gimbal, was worth around $7,000. I think this is one of the ways that this is happening, which is we're being scoped out sometimes while we're using our camera gear to, say, setting up for a shoot. You've got all the stuff out. Maybe you have your camera bag laying out on the ground, all that. So you're kind of doing your thing. You're all caught up in the shoot itself. So then someone is watching you do this, and then they follow you, right? After you pack up, you get in your car, they follow you until you get to a point where they feel like they can make their move and steal your gear. Like in this case, probably it wasn't ideal for them to make the attack, you know, there at the location they were shooting. It might have been too many people around, all that kind of stuff. But yet they knew that in traffic, they probably had practiced this, that they could do a smash and grab there and then get away. Be aware of your surroundings at all times. And if someone's scoping you out, or if you feel that, you know how that is, where you feel it? If you feel that, pay attention to it. Pay attention to it and keep an eye on things. All right, let's do this third one, because this is something that is happening more and more as well. Robbers target photo shoot in San Diego Park, shoot man in struggle. This is also from Petapixel, and the link is in the show notes. A man was shot in San Diego Park this weekend after a group approached and attempted to steal the camera equipment being used. Fox 5 reports that a 25-year-old man and a 24-year-old man were doing a photo shoot around 6:49 p.m. on Saturday in Chicano Park in the Barrio Logan neighborhood, where they were approached by six young people, three males and three females in their late teens or early 20s. When the group attempted to steal the gear, the two men fought back. Quote, a struggle ensued, and during the struggle, one of the male suspects pulled out a gun and shot multiple rounds at the victims, end quote, San Diego police officer Robert Himes tells Fox 5. Luckily, both of the victims escaped with their lives. The suspect shot the 24-year-old in the lower abdomen and gave the 25-year-old a bloody lip before getting into a black Honda sedan and driving away. The gunshot victim was taken to an area hospital with a wound that isn't considered to be life-threatening. San Diego gang detectives are now investigating the attempted robbery and assault. This is something that I have heard more than once, which is you're out somewhere doing a photo shoot, and then people actually approach you during the photo shoot and try to take your gear. I don't really feel like, and especially when you're looking at, you know, a 6-2 situation here, that, you know, fighting back in order to save your gear is necessarily the best plan. I would think that saving your life should be plan A. And then if you give up your gear in the process, well, you have your life, which is far more important. So the resisting the robbery part of it, I would recommend against doing that. I think most of us, you know, feel that way. Okay, so that is the third one. So none of these three situations I consider unusual. In fact, I consider them happening more and more and way too often. So how do we approach the world and enjoying our hobby and protecting ourselves and protecting our gear? Well, I have some ideas around that, so let's get into those right now. The first thing I'm going to mention, and this has been a topic of mine for the longest time, and I even am in the middle of a workshop on the subject right now, which is that nimble photography is more than just traveling light to relieve tired shoulders. It's also a practice to keep you inconspicuous while enjoying the hobby that you love. So my current recommendation, and you know what I'm working with right now for light photography. And what I mean by light photography, I mean, you know, travel photography, vacation photography, exploring urban environments, your neighborhood, you know, that kind of photography. What I'm recommending now is traveling with just a smartphone and, you know, a late model smartphone. For instance, if you shoot with an iPhone, for example, iPhone 10, iPhone 11, iPhone 12, one of those that give you, you know, multiple cameras and fairly sophisticated computational photography. Traveling with just a smartphone and a compact camera of your choice, this tandem, and that's what we're working through in this workshop right now, this tandem gives you a lot of ability, of capability, but no camera bag. And the no camera bag, I think, is the key part to this, not only for traveling light, again, to be more comfortable, but also for not attracting the attention of thieves and robbers. For instance, if I'm traveling with an iPhone 12 Pro Max, I have three lenses. I have an ultra wide, I have a wide, and I have a mild telephoto. The mild telephoto is at 65 millimeters. So let's say I have that, and then I have an Olympus OMD EM 10 Mark III or my Fujifilm X100, you know, one of those two cameras that I like, my Pen-F with a single lens, a prime lens. I can have those in my pocket, right? The smartphone definitely in my pocket, and then the camera in, let's say, my hoodie pocket or my jacket pocket, you know, one of those pockets that are a little bit bigger, and just be walking around with no camera bag and no camera visible. Even if I pull out my camera to shoot, this is not a big professional rig that, you know, would interest thieves. Nimble photography goes beyond just being comfortable and traveling light. It actually goes into being safe as well. And in these situations, travel photography, urban photography, vacation photography, I highly recommend developing this kind of kit, not only just to travel light and enjoy yourself, but to also protect your gear and yourself as well. I also want to mention that camera insurance can often be purchased as a rider to your existing homeowner's or renter's policy. And that helps you if something bad happens. Let them have the gear. You protect yourself and anyone around you. And then later on, replace that gear, at least in part, with the money from the insurance. And I, you know, this is something that I think is more and more important in these times. The first story that I told you about, our workshop participant, he had insurance on his gear, and you know, he followed up with me, and he was able to replace everything afterwards. And you know, that lessens the blow, right? Now, it is an inconvenience, all that. You do have to deal with the insurance company. You do have to go out and purchase more gear. But he was able to be reimbursed financially for that, and that helps soften the blow a bit. So camera insurance as a rider can be very useful and very helpful and something to definitely think about. This next one, this is interesting because this just tells you how things have become. Keep your gear with you, and I mean with you, right? So I don't go into a gas station, I don't go into a convenience store, I don't go into anywhere without whatever I have with me going with me. I keep it with me. And when you're in public spots like that, the odds of you being robbed with a whole bunch of people around, and especially somewhere like that where there's going to be cameras everywhere, right? Video cameras everywhere, are pretty slim. So taking your gear with you and not leaving it in the car is a very smart thing to do. Now, the next level that amazes me is that when I'm driving in my car, that gear's got to be up in the front seat with me. It doesn't even do any good to have your gear in the back seat, or definitely not back in the hatch area anymore, because if someone has scoped you out, then that's the way the smash and grabs are happening. They're smashing in the back window, grabbing the gear and going. So not only do you have to have your gear with you in the car, but you need to have your gear up front with you in the car. The lighter you travel, the easier this is to do. You know, this all kind of works together. But definitely do not go into restaurants and things like that without your gear with you. And then even when you're driving, keep it up front. Alrighty. Now also, when you're in urban situations, be what I call urban smart. And urban smart is aware of your surroundings, standing tall, good body language, right? Avoid vulnerable locations. Always have an exit plan. And listen to your inner voice. And that last one, I think, is particularly important. They're all important, but listening to your inner voice. We usually get vibes. I mean, if you pay attention to that sort of thing, we will usually get vibes when we're in a situation that maybe isn't completely safe. Don't talk yourself out of those. Take action to, you know, strengthen your situation. So, for instance, if you're in an urban situation, your inner voice is telling you, I feel like someone's watching me, or I feel like I'm more vulnerable here than I'm comfortable. That's when you go into a Starbucks. That's when you take some sort of action to change the situation and put the odds in your favor instead of feeling like the odds are in someone else's favor. So be urban smart when you're in urban situations. You know, do all of these things. Awareness, standing tall, body language is important. Avoiding vulnerable locations, having an exit plan, kind of know, okay, if this happens over here or someone comes up from behind, I can go there, you know, that kind of thing. And then listening to your inner voice. And when you hear your inner voice say something, take action. Don't just write it off. And then finally, when you're at home, I believe in locking up your gear when you're at home. And I have both a safe and a locking cabinet to slow thieves down. Now, if someone really wants to get to your stuff and they have enough time, they can probably get to it. But I'll tell you a story about when I was a kid. As my dad had a safe in their closet, in their master bedroom closet when we were growing up. You know, he kept all the normal stuff that you keep in a safe, you know, the important documents, things like that. And we went out to dinner one night, and we came back home. He noticed, and my dad was a police officer at the time, he noticed that the door was had been forced open. So right away, he was on alert. He told us to go back to the car and stay in the car. And he went inside. What happened was that when we came home, the thieves were in the process of trying to drag the safe out of the closet outside, I guess, to ultimately get it in their vehicle. They weren't able just to grab the contents like if they had been in a dresser drawer and run away. They were having to drag this thing. This thing slowed them down. My dad didn't find anyone there. Obviously, when they heard him come in, they took off. But they found the safe dragged out of the master bedroom and halfway down the hallway. And that's where he found it. You can't completely stop someone if they have unlimited amount of time and resource. But you can slow them down. And sometimes slowing them down is enough. And in this case, slowing them down was enough. And we didn't lose anything that was in that safe. You know, it's unfortunate that we have to have a show on this topic. But at the same time, and you know this about me and how I feel, for me, every one of you is important, right? You're important. Your safety is important. And, you know, the thing that is always sort of paramount to me is your ability to continue to do your craft, to be an artist, and to engage in the hobby that you love. So we talk a lot of times about, you know, how to be creative or how to get the juices going or, you know, how to reinvigorate, you know, all those sort of things, ideas to keep you going on your craft and to keep you creating things. Well, hanging on to your camera gear is part of that. And unfortunately, there are times when, you know, that could be in danger. So take this seriously. Don't be, you know, I'm not saying be overly paranoid every moment of the day, but I think by taking the steps and by being prepared, then you put the odds in your favor. And that's all we can do is just have the odds in our favor. So with a little bit of luck and following these practices, you should be able to avoid the misfortune that I described at the top of the show. Be careful out there, but continue to enjoy your craft. The Royal Photographic Society makes 165 years of its journal free online. This is a story from DP Review, and I have a link to the original article there. The Royal Photographic Society has digitized its archive and made issues of its magazine, the RPS Journal, free to read online. Visitors to the Society's website were able to read issues dating back to the first magazine that was published on March 3, 1853. The frequency of publication has varied slightly over the years, but the RPS claims the journal is the longest continuously published photographic periodical in the world. The current format of the magazine is published 6 times a year, and the free archive covers 1853 to 2018. Said to be over 30,000 pages of searchable articles packed into 158 volumes of publications. Isn't this cool? The RPS covers a full range of photographic interests, from professional, technical, and scientific to peer enthusiasts and artistic, and that breadth is reflected in the content of the journal. It was the end of the 1800s before pictures appeared, and even then there are drawings of the photographs due to be shown in an exhibition. And members had to wait until the 1920s before photographs were able to be printed on the pages. The journal's archive is a fantastic record of photographic technology, as well as changing styles and the growth of popularity of photography as a pastime, as well as a profession. Its advertising pages give us a running commentary of camera equipment and consumables over the last century and a half. Regular picture-based features chart movements in technique and art, while the search feature will take you directly to coverage of major and minor photographers since the beginning of photographic time. For more information, see the Royal Photographic Society's website. The link is in the article, or you could just search on it. I love it when things like this happen, and we're seeing this also a fair amount these days, where these beautiful online archives are shared with us, and we can just go there and peruse and enjoy to our heart's content. So hats off, right, to the Royal Photographic Society. This had to be a big project. This had to involve a lot of work, and then to make it available to us as they are, I just think that's terrific. I hope you have a little bit of time to go over and check it out and just marvel at the evolution of this craft that we love. What a neat project. Truly cool. Earth lens mount adapters for vintage optics to mirrorless cameras. So I've been testing various mount adapters and wanted to mention to you one of my favorites. And I've been doing this because I love vintage lenses. I love using them. I like the unique looks they give me, and I like using them on different mirrorless cameras. But I've also found recently that I have some pretty cool modern lenses from a different manufacturer, let's say, that I want to use on a camera from someone else. And so I've been looking into those lens mount adapters as well. And I'll give you an example. I have a few Pentax DA lenses. You know, that's their crop sensor lenses. Really cool optics. One is a 21 millimeter, and another one is a 70 millimeter. They're very compact. They have amazing lens coatings on them. The color is fantastic, and they look really good on all sorts of mirrorless cameras. Now, I've originally got them for my Pentax KP, which I love shooting with them on. But for example, I'm going to be testing, you know, the new Fujifilm camera, the super compact, the XE4. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be fun to test those very nice Pentax DA lenses on that camera? Well, it wasn't easy for me to find, you know, an adapter, because those lenses don't have aperture rings. They're all computer controlled, but they still have an aperture control lever inside the lens mount. And I ran across these Earth / Gobi line of lens mounts adapter. I feel like they're the same company, but they seem to have different two different brands here. I found one for Pentax DA to my Fujifilm camera that I'm going to be testing. And it is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. And the thing about it is, I got it for $32. And I have the link to, you know, the entire line made by these guys in the show notes. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning that to you is I always want to encourage folks to try whatever vintage lenses they have around on their mirrorless cameras. But I found that lens mount adapters, as I got into this, fell into two basic categories. They're the super affordable ones that don't do much, but, you know, they're reasonable. So I'm talking about like $12, $15, that kind of thing. And, you know, the fit may be good, the fit may not be good. You know, you just have to kind of find out on a one-by-one basis. So there's that category, and they don't have any functionality. They're just a tube with, you know, two mounts. And then there's like the $120 to $250 category, have a little bit more functionality and supposedly have a better fit, but that's a lot of money. And I was going, I'm not really happy with either category. Well, I found these guys in this Earth, URTH, and Gobe, G-O-B-E. I found these guys, and they're like kind of in the middle. Most of their adapters are like 30, 40 bucks, somewhere in there. Much more reasonable, and they're really nice, and they have the functionality. For instance, the one for the Pentax DA, it actually has a ring that serves as an aperture control ring. So first of all, when I put the lens on the adapter, it opens it up to maximum aperture, which just a straight one wouldn't do. It would stay close down to f/22. And then I can even adjust the aperture with the ring that's on the lens mount adapter. And I go, this is what I'm looking for. You know, it's quality. It's well made. They even plant 5 trees for every adapter that you buy. I really like that. The packaging was eco-friendly. I really like that. It was just cool. It's just cool. So I wanted to share that with you. The link to their line of lens mount adapters is in the show notes. You can go over and take a look at it. If you're looking for something like this, take a look at these guys. I've been really happy with what I've been testing by them. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. The waiting list for the second session of integrating iPhone into a pro photography workflow. This is what I was talking about earlier in the show, where you're just working with an iPhone and you're working with a compact digital camera, no camera bag, and really exploring how far you can take this tandem. And I'm telling you right now, we're in the middle of the first workshop. You can go far. You can go far and no camera bag. So the first session sold out, and we're in the middle of it right now. We're having a blast. I have a wait list for a second session. We added a few more names last week, and we're pretty close to opening it up. The people on the wait list, first come, first serve. If you're interested in this concept that I've been talking about, you know, using a camera, using a state-of-the-art iPhone, leaving the bag at home, I think you would really enjoy this workshop. So you can just go to thenimblephotographer.com. You'll see the waitlist right there. Just put your name and contact information on the waitlist. It's very easy. You don't have to pay anything right now because we haven't actually opened up a second session of the workshop. And then once we get to critical mass, I'll let you know. And then you can decide if you want to enroll or not. But this is a cool thing. And in light of everything that's going on right now, I really feel like this is a way to go. The technology is there, the comfort is there, the creativity is there, the capability is there, and more, it's a lot more safe. Okay, so anyway, that's over there. You can check it out on thenimblephotographer.com. I want to give a big shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that help support this podcast month in and month out. They get discounts for all of our workshops. They get free content. They get my eternal thanks. You notice you don't hear a lot of obnoxious ads on this podcast, right? I mean, I do a number of things on purpose. One of them is they're not ads at the top of the show, ever. I will never do that. When you tune into this podcast, I want you to hear content, not ads. Second thing is, thanks to our Inner Circle members, I don't have to sell that ad spot in the middle anymore, right? Because they take care of that. That means you get better content and you don't have to listen to ads about stuff that maybe you don't want to listen to. So your 30 minutes a week is pretty high quality stuff. You can thank Inner Circle members for that. If you want to become an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. Take a look at our site. If you like what you see, join us. Become part of this to help keep this community moving forward. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. You guys and gals are the best. We do have affiliate links on the website. I usually have them on the podcast in the show notes and so forth. These links to products have our affiliate code in them. So if you click on that link and you end up buying that product, then we get a small percentage of that sale, but it doesn't cost you anything more. That revenue helps support the show. So for those of you that are going to do a purchase, if you come to The Digital Story first, and if you're going to purchase on Amazon or B&H, then if you click on those tiles first in the second column, or click on the link in the show notes, and then navigate to whatever you're going to buy, that money helps support the show, and I appreciate you taking that extra step. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. You click on that tile, it takes you over to our landing page, and from there you can navigate to a wonder world of inkjet printing. Everything from tutorials to reviews to a vast catalog of inkjet printing paper, surfaces and sizes and creative things. It's a wonderland, I'm telling you. And then all the little additional things that you need, you know, envelopes, glossing sleeves, ink, all that good stuff. They also are longest running supporter of this podcast, and they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Support the people that support us. And inkjet printing, I have to tell you, is a very exciting way to share your art with other people and to really feel like an artist. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this show. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Be careful out there, be safe, but continue to be creative. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm working on some more stuff for next week. Until then, go forth and make pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.